I want you to know that I am the messenger boy that God sent to share with you how the Word of God works and what is written. And so if you get upset today, don't come kill me. I'm just a messenger boy. You know, I didn't write the book. I have to live by the book, and sometimes it's very, very hard when it doesn't go the way my flesh wants to go. Now, I'm sure that some of y'all in here have a little bit of trouble with your flesh too. Do you not? So, if you, Ed's in agreement with me back there. He knows that he has probably just like me. We have problem with his flesh. This, and we'll always have problem with his flesh. It's just a fact of life. But today, I want to show you from God's Word. I want to continue on. And last, in fact, what did we title last Sunday's? Let God be your marriage counselor. Okay, let God be your marriage counselor. In other words, I'm also going to add this. What I'm teaching last Sunday and this Sunday, I hope I get through this Sunday, that if you'll believe God and you'll obey Him, all of the marriage counseling you'll ever need is going to be in what I'm going to tell you from last Sunday to today. Now, then the problem comes down to it, the average person, even in church, they won't obey it. I mean, it'll be written, but they'll hear it, they'll see it, but they will refuse to obey what it says. And that's what's wrong with us today in the church. We will not obey God's Word. So, like I say, I'm just going to reiterate to you today, again, one more time, what God's Word says. Now, I'm going to start out on the Scripture. I left off on 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 17, and I'm going to go over that again. So it is so powerful, I'm going to start today with 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 17, and I want you to see how powerful this is between a married man and woman. Now about the question you ask in your letter. Yes, it is good to live a celibate life. I mean, Paul said, yes, it is good. You know, if a man can do that, I mean, this is one thing, or a woman, doesn't make any of what it is, if you're a man or a woman, and you do not want to abide by the rules of marriage, then your best thing is to do is to never get married. Stay single. Because as long as a woman is single, she don't have a man ruling over her. She can go do what she wants to do. She can get up when she wants to, go to bed when she wants to. She can go eat what she wants to. She can run around where she wants to. She can do anything she wants to do. But when she gets married, her life changes. She don't have that option no more. It's just like until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're free to go do anything you want to do in the world. You can go sin. You can do anything you want to do. Now, we'll have to say, in a period of time, that life will bring forth an early death. Because God said sin brings forth death. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, technically speaking, you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Son, what I'm teaching today, I do not want to hear that nonsense in the tape all the way through. Now, you're either going to be quiet or we're going to take you back there to the nursery. Is that okay? What are you going to do? You going to be quiet? Okay, you be quiet. Now then, you as a son of God, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, from the minute you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer your own and you are accountable to the King. Now, He's going to hold you accountable. Now, before you accepted Him as Lord and Savior, you could go out there and do anything you wanted to do. He was not going to hold you accountable. But once you became His daughter, once you became His son, you live under a complete new set of rules. Now, you're no longer your own. You're bought with a price. The price of the only begotten Son of God. Everybody know that? And then He's got a set of rules that you're to live by. Whether you be celibate or whether you're married, there is a set of rules. Now, the two sets of rules are different for a celibate person and for a married person. But we're going to cover them. Some of them are the same. But Paul says it is good to live a celibate life. That's what he chose to do. But because there's so much sexual immorality, now this seems to be a problem that people just cannot live without sex, or at least they think they can't. But because there's so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. Now, you know, a man and a woman that are married, it's amazing, and I will make this statement now, it's amazing how many people in life think they cannot possibly live without sex. And so they go out and have sex outside of wedlock, and then a matter of months or maybe a few years after they get married, that man that thought he couldn't live without sex, since he had sex before he got married, which broke God's rules as a son of God, God struck him with a problem for that he could not have sex after he gets married. You have no idea how many families that I minister to that the man is impotent and he's only 40 or 50 years old. When I find out, I ask him, I say, did you have sex before marriage? Yes, that's why. That's why you have that problem. God clearly says in His Word, there's one little book that's not, we do not have in our book, but it is in a Catholic Bible, and it's in the Book of Wisdom. It's chapter 11, verse 15 and 16. And when I read that, that made so much sense to me. It confirmed to me what I'd learned just over experience over the many years. Now, I want Dave to put that on the screen. And I want you to look at this Book of Wisdom, 11:15. It says, in return for their foolish and wicked thoughts, which led them astray to worship irrational serpents and worthless animals, you sent upon them a multitude of irrational creatures to punish them so that they might learn that one is punished by the very things by which one sins. Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? That whatever you sin with, that's where you're going to be attacked. I mean, you know, how many people never put this together? God clearly said in His Word, you're not supposed to talk about other people. You're supposed to speak a blessing over somebody. So what you're doing, you're speaking something bad over somebody, and the next morning or the next week you wake up with laryngitis and you can't talk for a week or two. And you never put it together. The reason you had that was because of your mouth. People just don't think like that. But the reason they don't think like that is because they don't read this book. Because this book tells you that. Okay, let's go back where we was. Now then, verse 3 and 4. The husband should not deprive his wife of sexual intimacy, which is her right as a married woman, nor should the wife deprive her husband. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband also gives authority over his body to his wife. Now then, if every man and woman that's married knows that scripture right there, they got to know their body, once they get married, their body's not their own. It belongs to their mate. So, man and woman comes home, the man wants to have sex one night, you don't feel like it, you're tired, the kids are wore out, and you might tell him, honey, I don't feel like it, and he may say, okay. But if he says, no, I want to have sex, then what are you supposed to do as a wife? You're supposed to have sex. That's what God says. Your body is His. Well, what if he's all wore out and tired and he don't feel like nothing and he comes on tonight and he hits the bed, but it happens to be the night you want to have sex. And you go in and jump down there and say, hey, you know, what's this? You know, he said, well, I'm tired and I'm wore out. She said, but you know, I want to play a little bit tonight. What's he supposed to say according to the Word of God? Okay, that's exactly right. If she wants to play, we play. You know, I mean, is that what this book says? Did I tell you before that I didn't write this book? You know, I didn't make these rules. I'm just the messenger boy, and what I'm trying to teach you is exactly what's written in this book. Have we deviated a whole lot so far? Okay, just long we're going on. Now then, what a lot of women don't know, and what a lot of women do to their husbands, since they can appear to do without sex a whole lot more than their husbands can because they don't understand how he's made, the husband does something they don't like, and so they don't let him no more. Even though he wants to, they say, no. Do you know that? Does that sound like a sin against this Word right here? If a woman says, no, I'm not going to have sex with my husband because he did something I don't like, He didn't buy me this, or he didn't buy me a birthday card, so I am not going to let him. And you don't let him, let me tell you, you're in direct rebellion to God, and you better get ready. Something's going to happen to you. You ain't going to like what God's going to do to you because you're rebellious. He says when you're rebellious, every form of witchcraft is in your house. So see, people don't understand the Word of God. They don't understand there's a consequence when they break His rules. And then they wonder why the kids go bad. Then they wonder why the husband, they find him out with some other woman. What? You went out with another woman last night? Well, you wouldn't let me have sex with you for 3 months, so yeah. I went out with another one. You want to keep your husband from doing that? If he wants to go to bed every night, go to bed with him. You know where I'm coming from? I mean, God made that man like that, and it's not your body. It's His. And that's the way it is. Is that what's written here? If people understood these things, we would have a whole lot less divorces in the church. But the people in the church, they don't even understand these things either. It's why they don't read it. It's clear. Okay, 5 and 6. So do not deprive each other of sexual relations. I mean, it can't be much clearer than that, can you? The only exception to this rule would be the agreement of both husband and wife to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so they can give themselves more completely to prayer. So there is a reason. But it's only if both of you want to do it. You know? Afterwards, they should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt them because of their lack of self-control. Now, do you think the devil knows how weak a man is, especially a man? Yeah. He knows how weak a man is, and he knows how weak a woman is because he knows the man wants to have a sexual relationship, and he knows the woman wants to be held and touched. So what will he do? I mean, if the man's not loving his wife, or if they're not having a sexual relationship, and he's not holding her or kissing her or doing anything, she wants that. So if she works outside the home, and unfortunately I hate it when women have to do that, but some of them do, and if they work outside the home and they're wanting to be held and their husband's not giving them that love and that physical touch that they want, and then some other guy comes along and says, you sure smell good today. Oh, you're so sweet. Oh, and she just melts. That's what she wants to hear.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.